start a new one, and then let's see if that happened. Do we have number 10? No. No. I have number 1. Oh, it restarted. Okay, great. All right, so we are recording. Huzzah. Okay, I apologize for people listening. I suspect we now have an audio sync issue of a couple of minutes. Apologies to those people listening to the recording. I'll try to fix it. I don't know how well I will do. All right, some things to know about JavaScript. So when you were to look at the Twiggle source code, you will see things that just seem weird. Right? You have the first character in the file is an opening parenthesis. Okay, that opening parenthesis is matched by is matched by this parenthesis, of course. But wait, there's another opening parenthesis. Where did that happen? Right, anyway. Okay, there's reasons for all of this. It all exists. You'll actually notice the first thing we do is define a function and then immediately evoke it without giving it a name. Why did we do that? There are reasons for all of this having to do with making a language designed for one thing do something completely different that we've been doing for the past 20 years. So, anyway, there are some problems with it, but nonetheless, here it exists. We aren't going to have to write this very much. We're instead going to write HTML. Okay? So, here is a base example that I am planning to sort of work on and add to, and I realized I can get myself in trouble, so I even made a script for myself today. All right, this is HTML. I think we talked a little about HTML last time, tags and so on. I have here some style so that we can make things look like something, and this is a language called CSS, because when you write HTML, you actually write at least 4 languages, right? Huzzah. All right. But this is going to be similar to what we've seen before, a little simpler. Here is my vertex shader. Okay? It says attribute. Remember, attribute means comes into the shader. Okay? It's supplied by the user. So the attribute is the position. I just save it as the global GL position varying, which means it gets interpolated. I have a fragment shader. It is an exceedingly exciting one. I have a uniform color. Uniform means a global unchanging input to all shaders. And I just use that as the fragment color. Okay? And those are my 2 shaders. And then I use Twiggle here. A whole lot shorter than pure WebGL. So what am I doing? I am setting defaults. I am saying, if I tell you something is a_, that's an attribute. So that's just saving myself a little bit of work. I'm saying, go grab that canvas object and say it's the geo web context. Make my program out of these things. That was like the 100 lines we looked at before about creating programs and linking them. Yeah. This just does all that for us. Boom. Okay? Because we always do it exactly the same way. Let's make it one line. Why not? And then I make my arrays. My arrays are the information I'm providing about geometry. So I have position arrays, index arrays. Now, I have to tell some information, but usually arrays are points and triangles. There are other ways I could do this, but that's the most common. So the default here, I just say, hey, I've got some buffer info. I'm saying, here is XYZ, 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 put those 3 together in a triangle. Okay? And so that's what I have. I could make some uniforms, but I don't have any. Because I'm actually going to make my color not be a constant uniform, it's going to be a varying uniform. And then you have this render function. Okay, render function is called by Twiggle. Well, actually, I think I may call it myself. I use the request animation frame. So this is actually built into JavaScript in most browsers. So I say, I want to do this when you have time. And so it does it, and when I say request animation frame, I say, well, I want to do it when you have time and long enough that the screen can be updated. Most screens only update approximately 60 times a second in hardware, so this will call this function about every 60 seconds. But only call it once. The last thing I do in it is say, okay, now I want another one. So this just says, as fast as you can, run this thing, keep drawing it. This is going to give me my animation. I resize in case the cameras change size. I set the viewport because I need to do that. I enable the depth test so I can have front and back. I clear the color and depth buffer. And then I make my current color. I've had my color based on some cosines. So my color is rolling around. So I should see some pulsing color when I run this. And then I say, this is the program I want to use. These are the buffer attributes. Here are the uniforms I want to use. Draw everything. Okay? And that is, this is it. This is the whole thing. Okay? It's actually doing slightly more than the last one we looked at. Just all of the boilerplate is wrapped around in Twiggle. Okay? Now, I'm trying to decide if I want to try to run it. Let's give it a go. Nope, not that one. Here it is running. Isn't that nice?
What's the background?
The background is created by, up here, I said I want the canvas to have a repeating linear gradient at 62 degrees between these colors. I just wanted to be able to tell the difference between transparent and some solid color. So that's actually done by HTML, not by WebGL. Okay, so here's our base example. I'm going to start adding things to this to make it more complicated. But before I do that, I want to make sure that we don't have questions that need to be answered about it as it currently sits. Let's start with the two shaders. Any questions about our two shaders? Anything that you're fuzzy about, you want me to say more about? Yes? Great question. In shaders, there's a handful of known variables that start GL underscore that must be provided. Okay? GL position tells the thing that does DDA what the coordinates are to do DDA on. It must be provided. Okay? So I never declare it. It always exists. It's a varying thing, and I have to produce it. My vertex shader must give a position. Otherwise, it can't continue. And then GL frag color, I also have to know what color to put in the screen. So this is the very last step. I need to know, is it green or blue or white or transparent or what is it? So I have to provide a color as the output of the fragment.
Where do you set those again?
Those are built into WebGL.
Where do you pass the attributes?
How do I pass the attributes? So where does attribute position come from? Actually, I start with... Yeah, we'll talk about where each of these come from. So, where does A position come from? So, first off, the A underscore here, I said that means it's an attribute. An attribute is input to the top end of the pipeline. It is the data I am providing. Okay? So I'm saying I am providing some information up here. And I say, so, and then when I run this, where this is actually coming here is in the set buffers and attributes rules. Okay? So this function here is wrapping things around a little bit, but saying I want to set the program to be this program and the buffers that tell me the attributes to be that program, that thing. So the buffer info, let's go look at buffer info. Buffer info is here. I said, given these vertices and these indices, make a buffer of data. It is, yes, these are just arrays of numbers. And then understanding that this is 3 points, not 1 point of 12, there's 9 coordinates, is actually done down here by knowing the number of elements. This is actually partially inferred by Twiggle, but I could put it separately. I say these are triangles, which means I have 3 indices at a time. That's how many of them there are. And there, I want to treat them in the hardware as being 16-bit values. Okay, so a lot of this looks a little like magic, and there are alternative numbers we could use there. Explaining why you want unsigned short as opposed to unsigned int is more than I want to spend time on. So basically, I can just add vertices here and draw more things. Let's try that. Let's give ourselves another coordinate. What pixel should we pick? You notice here we're sort of between -1 and 1 is the default transform space. So somebody give me a point. Sorry, I have a 0.8, I have a 0.1, and 0.7. So actually, between 0 and -1 is the visible z's by default in OpenGL.
-1.7.
All right, great. So I make that point. Now I have 4 points, so I can make another triangle. Okay, so I can now pick, I don't know, let's pick 0, 2, 3. Why not?
If you didn't make another triangle and it just said like...
Then I would have a point that's not being used for anything. Yep. And so let's see what this does. Whoa, I have 2 triangles. Okay. And I could also say, I didn't want to do that, I'm going to do this. I could also say, oh, what would have happened if I'd picked 1 instead of 2? And I can try that out. And now it's from a different pair of points. Okay? But I'm just coloring the flat color, so I just see flat color right now.
How would we have assigned different color to the second triangle?
Yeah, so that happens in our fragment shader. What does our fragment shader say the color is? The uniform color. It does not vary based on anything, so it will always be the same color. Yeah?
So you mean like it's the same color for everything in the scene at that given time?
Everything that runs this program has the same color. Now the program, I'm actually continually changing the uniform. Mm-hmm. Right? So every frame, I'm picking a new uniform color.
Then why do we have to make it uniform?
Because it's the same for all vertices. It's not varying. So it's not changing from pixel to pixel across the screen, not being interpolated. And so uniforms and varyings are inputs to fragment shaders. Uniforms and attributes are inputs to vertex shaders.
So could you copy the fragment shader and change the name and make them offset the color that they're rotating through?
Yep, I could have 2 different shader programs and swap between them. Yeah?
So then how does a varying work? Like, couldn't we just make it varying between the same number?
So varying is interpolated DDA. So if I want to have a varying thing in my fragment shader, I need to output it in my vertex shader. Does that make sense? I'm seeing some level of puzzlement.
Well, my main question was just if you make a varying between the same color, then it should just be uniform.
Correct. If we had interpolated the color across it, but it was always the same value, then it would be uniform.
That would work.
Yep. It'd be a little less efficient because I have to interpolate that, but it would work. Yeah?
Could you explain the first thing you said? You said brain puzzling like a second ago.
I don't know what you're referring to. I'm sorry.
You said like I noticed a degree of puzzlement or something. Like just seconds before you then clarified.
Okay. I don't remember saying that. I believe that I did.
Yeah, I mean like...
I don't remember.
You said something about how it needs to be outputted and then inputted.
Yeah, like, oh. So a varying is output of vertex input to fragment. Okay, we output like the vertex per vertex color, we input the per vertex color, right? So all those things you interpolate in DDA, those are varying things. Position is varying. Right? So because it is moving across the object. So we have these ideas of things that can vary across.
So as the vertex is changing, we can choose the color that it would be set for that vertex.
Yeah, let's actually try this. Okay, let's actually build it in. Let's go in here and let's say we want to have a varying. So we first have to make sure we can output it. So we make a varying. Now the data types we have are from VEC2 to VEC4 and from MAT2 to MAT4. Okay? And so how many coordinates does a color have? 4. Red, green, blue, alpha. Okay? Now, if we had made only a VEC3, it would do the right thing for 4. It would make it 1. Okay? But we're not going to deal with that right now. So I'm going to say I want to have here a varying. So I'm going to say I want to have a V color. Okay? So that means I need to set this color. Okay? We'll get to how to do that in a moment. But there's more places we have to hook this up. So if that's varying there, then it's also varying here. Varying in a vertex shader is an output. Varying in a fragment shader is an input. Okay? And we have to use the same name because that's how the GLSL compiler knows to hook them up. Okay? So we want to say if one came in, one came out. We have to hook that up to things as well. So the way we do that is down here in our arrays. Notice right now we only have position. I named something v color. So I now need a field here for color. If I had named it v foobar, I would make something for v for foobar here instead. Okay? It's whatever I want to call it. And then I need to give what are the values. I need to make sure I have as many colors as I have positions, so that I have one for each. I need to make them line up. So let's just, I don't know, let's pick some random colors. Let's make that opaque. And that. And that. And, oh, I don't know. Oh, I shouldn't make that transparent, probably should I? All right, so there I have some colors. So now I have colors, and because I have this worked out, right, this is going to handle that for me. Twiggle is going to deal with what's actually another 10 lines, 15 lines of code of saying, oh, we have an attribute, it needs to go to this spot, it needs to go to that spot. Twiggle's going to hook that all up for us. And so I'm going to end up having those colors. Now, I haven't used them for anything yet, but let's make sure they work. And I can still see the picture, okay? If I had messed up, I wouldn't be able to see the picture. Let's see what happens if I mess up, because you should probably know how to do that if we're going to ask you to do this, which we may or may not do. Let me just get rid of some of the colors and reload this page. Oh, that still worked, because I'm not using it for anything. It didn't crash. Okay. I'll get to a crash that I know will crash later. Yeah, Twiggle will try to recover from errors for you. So it probably made the rest of them black. Anyway, so now I have a varying color. Now I need to decide, how do I output the color? We could do lots of things. Let's try something weird. Let's say that my varying color is going to be a vec4 made out of the position. It's x, y, z, and 1. Yeah, so partly this is GLSL has really fancy ways of dealing with four vectors. You can use as an attribute any arbitrary sequence of x, y, z, w, r, g, b, a, and it will pull out just those elements, and then the vector constructor can take any number of vectors and numbers that creates the right number of values. Okay? So this will create a vector that has the same red as the positions x, the same y as the positions G, same blue as the position Z, and 1 as its alpha.
Wait, so what happens to the colors that you made in that array?
I'm not using them yet. Sorry, those actually, I need those for attributes, didn't I? I didn't need that. Yeah, let's use those instead. That'll be easier. Those are attributes. Sorry, the arrays are attributes. So I have an attribute of a color there. Meh. We'll get to use those in a moment. That's what the array actually does. I'm sorry. I did that wrong. So there are attributes now coming in that I didn't hook up to anything, which is why it didn't crash. All right. So if I put that in, and then down here, I say, let's not use the uniform color. Let's use instead, we'll use the varying color. So now we should see if this works. The red is how far to the right of the center it is. The green is how far above the center it is. Okay? And the blue is actually how far back in the scene it is, although we don't have a lot of that going on. Okay? No. All right. So we could also use the ones we had provided. We could say instead, no, we just are going to use that attribute color, the one we provided in the array. Wrong button. Whoa.
Why is it that?
That's a great question. Why is it doing that? I don't think it's transparent. I actually did not expect that to happen. The fourth point is half transparent. I must not be using my alpha blending currently correctly. Let's see. If I make that one. Yeah. So I must have not turned on the right alpha blending mode yet. And so it was doing something weird with alpha. I don't actually know what the default alpha blending was, so we'll put it back to one and things will work out here. You notice this is in front, okay? I do have depth blending going on, so it's in front because negative 0.7 is apparently closer to the camera than negative 0.5. Let's test that by making that negative 0.3 instead. and now it's behind. Okay? And there, this is because somewhere in here, there is a default depth test. I think the default depth test is that bigger numbers are farther, smaller numbers are closer. Okay? And I haven't changed that. You can change it. There are GL commands to change all of these comparisons. But that's the default. It works well enough. Okay? Other questions? Yeah?
Can you make one of the colors in that array the color that was changing before?
Yeah. I don't remember if I think I have to rebuild the buffer info. So what would that mean? That would mean I would need to change the array and then rebuild my buffer info before I run the program each time. So that would mean here I could say, what did I call it? I called it arrays. Arrays color. And so let's just say 0 is going to be uniforms dot u color 0, and I can do that for the other 4 as well. There are more efficient ways of doing this, but this is the concept of what we're doing. I guess we don't actually need to do that because they all have 1s. Okay? So I can reset that. And we can see, does this update things? Because, you know, why change more if we don't need to?
Wait, isn't color like 4 colors?
I just changed 3 coordinates of the first color. So what used to be red, I have now changed. Okay? But notice I created these objects and then I said make my buffer info. So if I want to use this, I need to remake my buffer info. So that when I set my buffer attributes, that will work.
Wait, so is it 0, 1, 2, like the RGB?
What? Yes, red, green, blue, yeah. Yes?
So weren't you changing different colors there rather than color
blindness? No, I was not. So we can see that because this pixel right here is pulsing colors. And just that one. But why just that one? Okay, because what is colors? It is an array of 16 numbers. The first 4 are the first color. Okay, so we use these flat arrays, which is also what the graphics card uses. It's why we use flat arrays. It's how the graphics card expects data to arrive. Okay, there are more efficient ways of doing this. If we had made a more complicated array, we could make things modify internally a little bit easier. But this will work. Yes?
So render is being called with the time.
Mm-hmm.
What is updating the time?
JavaScript.
Okay.
And it only guarantees that the time will be proportional to milliseconds of something. Typically, browsers usually give you the number of milliseconds since the page loaded, but that's not guaranteed. As long as it increases uniformly, yes. It does not need to be related to anything.
Cool.
All right. So we have this basic model. Things we might want to do. We might want to use matrices. Okay? Or we might want to use textures. So let's talk about how we would do those things. Let's start with matrices. Let's make things spin, shall we? All right, so a matrix doesn't change from one pixel to another. So it's going to be a uniform. Okay, so we can make ourselves a uniform. It's a 4x4 matrix, and we can call it whatever we want. What do we want to call it? That is actually the name of something else, but we have a U under it first, so that's fine. So we can make our matrix. A transform. All right. So we can say we want a uniform matrix. Then I can say, how do I use the matrix? Well, that's pretty easy. I just use it. I just multiply, because that's what we do with matrices. Okay, ta-da. But now I need to get to the matrix. So this is a uniform, and I probably want it to change from time to time. So let's come in here and let's make this instead of that, let's make this, what did we call it? Transform. Okay, but what do I want this to be? I have this matrix. I don't want, I could write all four values. So we could come in and rewrite all 16 values here directly. I'm, however, going to use some of the things that Twiddle gives me that are sort of like what you have in homework two. So I can just say, I want a M4 that is a rotation. Let's rotate around X. How about that? By time radians. We'll see what happens. If it turns out to do something bad, we'll change it. Whoa. It's very close to being flat. The two triangles are almost parallel with each other. And it's rotating around. Right now, z is negative z is up, negative z is down, negative z is out, negative z is up, negative z is back. Okay, it's spinning around.
How do you rotate it about its axis, the x-axis?
I said rotate x. I made the matrix that did that. So I could have written out the full contents of the 16 values of the matrix by hand. I just said Twiggle knows how to make the basic ones that homework 2 knew how to make. I'll just make one. Okay? I could then say, you know, I didn't like the look of that very much. Let's move this object to have a positive z instead. See what that does for us. And now we'll see it's more spread out in z. Right? And I can play with this however I want. I've got a pulsing pixel and it's spinning around and la! Isn't this weird? Okay? Yeah, so let's, I'm not going to spend the whole time doing it, but what would that mean? What would I need to do to add lighting? Sorry?
The lighting doesn't move.
So what that means down here, I would need to multiply the color by something.
Okay.
By what? Be some dot of the normal and the direction to the light, which means I need the normal to get down here, which means I need the normal to get in here. Okay? And so I'd have to get the normal in here, propagate it down here, dot it with some vector that's the direction to the light, and away I would go.
Position affects color, that's why you have varying uniform. Or varying.
Position affects color.
Because, like, you need... You want information to go from the vertex shader to the fragment shader.
I want it to be interpolated.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's what I'm varying.
Yeah. Yeah. So I make attributes of normals coming in. I'd supply normal vectors for my object, pass them in as attributes, interpolate them, pull them out, normalize them, dot them with the light direction, multiply it by the color. Right. The same basic steps you use to do lighting in homework 2. Just you have to do it in different languages, several different languages. Yes?
So it seems like all that's really happening in the fragment shader is that we're setting the frag color to z color.
Yeah.
Could we have done that in the vertex shader? Or like, why not?
No. The vertex shader doesn't know about fragments. Okay? It doesn't have fragments at all. Fragments are generated in part of the process of interpolation. And there's no guarantee that there is a varying that gets copied over, right? So this is an output of the fragment shader as opposed to an output of the vertex shader. And so we have to handle that separately. Yeah?
Why are they all called mode? Like, how do you tell them apart when you look at the
Because they're in two different... They're actually two different subsets of the languages, but it's effectively I wrote two programs. The program that moves vertex to different place in vertex, and the program that turns fragment into color. And so conceptually what the graphics card is doing is it is running this program over and over and over again once with each vertex, and then it is running this program over and over and over again once with each fragment. Yes?
Like how does it know which one it's meant to run with the fragments and how just because you're setting frag color, is that?
No. When I created them, Twiggle create program info wants the identities of the vertex shader object and the fragment shader object. Okay, and so if I swapped the order, it would break. Yes.
Oh, so does it like interpret from the like MIME type of the script tag?
I actually don't remember which one Twiggle does.
Okay.
I mean, this is a Twiggle wrapper. The real GL, the raw GL we saw last time, there's this GL.vertexShaderInfo or whatever it was called that you had to pass in. And I don't know, I think it's doing it by order, but it may also be looking at the type to figure that out. The main reason I'm putting mind types here is so I have some vague chance of getting something syntax highlighted. It sort of works. Other questions? Okay, let's talk about textures, because I feel like that's something that you probably won't figure out on your own, and I think it will give a lot of the ideas about what we need to do. If we want textures to work, there's three basic pieces. Let's start backwards. If we want to look up a color, we need something to look it up in, and we need a coordinate to use for the lookup. So the fragment share needs to have a texture, as say a raster of pixels, and it needs a texture coordinate, that is say a UV or an ST or however you like to use your texture coordinates to find where something is. So we're going to have to make sure that gets into the fragment shader. The texture object is not going to matter for the vertex shader, but I will need to interpolate texture coordinates. So I'll need each vertex to have a texture coordinate to be interpolated across the vertices, passed in here, and then used to look up something in a texture object. And so that means I need to get a texture object into this system. Okay? So there's a variety of steps involved in doing that. Let's start, now I've talked about it from end to beginning, we're going to run it the other way. So, I need to get a texture. I need to have texture information. And this is many, many lines of WebGL. Many, many lines of WebGL. But Twiggle, fortunately, says, we keep writing these same 50 lines over and over again. Let's do it this way. We can say we want, in true Twiggle approaches, we are just going to say we have a texture object. Okay? The texture object needs to be, actually, this is slight, this we only ever use it for one thing. So we say Twiggle dot create texture. So we're going to create a texture using this GL object, okay, and an object that gives us the data. So say you want to create a texture, I should spell texture correctly. I mean, I spelled it correctly, I didn't capitalize it correctly. Okay, I want to create a texture using GL, that is say this context, a texture for this window that's rendering it. That's why I keep passing around GL all over the place. That's the window that I can, or the part of the window that I'm allowed to draw things in. And then I need to give it some information. The base piece of information I need to give is four pieces. I need to give the rule for if things are too small, what do you do? Do you interpolate? Do you mip mapping? What do you do? So make the min rule, we'll just use the easiest of these. Just take the nearest pixel. How about if it was too big, max. How about if we need to blow it up? We'll also just use the nearest. So if we need to average several pixels, just take the nearest one. If we need to make a traxel go across multiple pixels, just take the nearest one. We could throw in linear interpolation and so on to make things nicer, but we'll start here.
What is mag?
It's how are we minifying the texture if it's too big? How are we magnifying the texture if it's too small?
So you said GL is magic and usually means window, or this is magic and usually refers to the window.
Yep.
So could you pass this instead of GL?
Window isn't the same thing as GL. So we created GL right here, and it is not the window object. Gotcha. We could have, however, if we wanted to, correctly done that. But why would we?
This is there.
Because this is implied. Gotcha. Yes. Okay. So I have to have those things. I also need to say, where am I getting the picture? Where is this coming from? Now, this actually keeps getting more complicated over the years as people find more ways of using images to do things they shouldn't do. Okay? So the simplest way to do this is to manually put the image in the same folder as your script. If you want to get it from somewhere else on the web, you also need to deal with the cross-origin rules. Okay? Okay, so I can put that in here, but this actually needs to be on both ends for this to work. I'm just going to say cross-origin is a complicated thing. Essentially, if your website goes to some other website to load an image, it could do things other than load an image. Because loading an image is really just sending an HTTP request to another website. and it sends back stuff and you try to draw it as a picture. And there's all kinds of ways, if I could insert something into that image that isn't an image that lets me know you did things, and this is actually a way of tracking where people are by saying what image did they ask for. Anyway, so there's lots of reasons why doing it from a different host is generally prohibited, and I'm just going to use this nothing cross-origin policy. And that means I need to have access to an image where I am currently working. All right, so that means I need a picture. Let's find ourselves a picture, shall we? Here's a picture. Let's save this image as, and then I need to put it in the directory where I'm currently working. So I'm just going to save that. I think that was called redshare2.png. So I'm going to say the source here is redshare2.png. Hey, Hanna. So now I have created a texture. This allows me now to potentially have access to the texture, but I've created, I haven't yet put it anywhere. So this is going to be a uniform. I want to have access to this, and it isn't going to change from time to time. So I can make a uniform texture that is that texture. I should use a colon there. Okay? So I can say, in my uniforms, texture is a constant uniform, it's not changing frame to frame. I could change it frame to frame if I wanted to try to play some sort of very inefficient movie. I could have every frame load a different picture object, okay? But I'll just leave it constant for now, okay? So I have this object. That will now deal with getting it into my scene if I hook it up on the other side. Question?
Why did you use a colon there instead of an equal?
Because I'm building an object, not assigning a variable. Incidentally, all of these objects, this is technically shorthand for that. These are really strings. But the syntax of JavaScript says if the key looks like an identifier, turn it into a string. So you only need quotes if it doesn't look like an identifier. Anyway, JavaScript, doing things. Sorry? If the key had a space in it or started with a digit or something, then I need quotes. Other questions? All right, so now I've created my uniform texture. It's always worthwhile making sure that I haven't crashed the program. I have not crashed the program. All right, so far so good. So now I have this object available. I also need to have texture coordinates. So I'm going to need to add some texture coordinates to what's going on. So let's make ourselves some text chords. And these are going to have to be assigned per vertex, so I'm putting it here in my arrays, my attribute arrays. Okay? And I just need two of these, right? I just need two per point. And let's just, we have 4 points, let's just pick 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 0. Because, you know, those are easy to make. Okay? Yes? Oh, yeah. We could call them text codes if you'd prefer. All right. So we make our coordinates. Now those are going to get in as attributes. Okay? And so that means up here I have access to, although I haven't yet used it, I'm allowed to now say, oh, there's another attribute I know about. I know about the attribute that's a vec to the a text codes. Text. Huh?
No.
Okay. Did I say chord or chords? Text chord. Yeah. Great. So I have that coming in. I don't really want to do anything with that except push it out again. So let's make a varying version of that too. Right? It comes in, it goes out. And let's make sure that when it comes in, it goes out, just like we did for color. Okay, I could add a matrix to modify my text coordinates with. I can do anything with them I want. I could swap the U and V. I could multiply them by 3. I can do anything I want, but I'm just going to copy them forward. Okay, so I have those. And then because I have a varying coming out of this one, I have a varying going into this one. I also have access to a uniform because I made a uniform. Now, the type of thing I get out of a uniform is called, and this is not necessarily obvious, a sampler 2D. Okay? A sampler is a generic name for something you can look things up in inside of this. And you will have some sort of interpolation rules. So this could be a 1D array, it could be a 2D array, it could be a 3D array. It's a grid of values that you can look up based on a coordinate. So I have a 2D version of this, and I think I called it UTEX. Is that right? Did I call it UTEX? What did I call it, my uniforms? UTEX, good. Okay. So now I have two inputs to my fragment share that I said I need, the texture coordinate and the texture object. And so now I can use the texture coordinate and the texture object to figure out what I want my frag color to be. We'll come back and use other ways of doing this here later, but I want my GL frag color. Okay. I want this to be a lookup from my texture. The function that looks up from a texture is texture2D. Make sure it's a capital D, yes, okay. With the texture object I want to look up in and the text coordinate that I want to use to look it up. Note this is not like an array because it isn't like an array. It does potentially interpolation or mapping work and so on. There's lots of things that could be happening here. So I use this function, this built-in texture2D function, which I've partially configured by picking the minification and magnification rules to make this work. It's an OpenGL built-in thing, yeah. All right, so let's see how this works. Aw, isn't that pretty? Notice, okay, as it spins around, you'll notice that we don't get to see the second triangle through the first one. Why not?
The texture is not the right
texture. The texture is transparent, that's why we see the striped background, yeah.
Because with the depth buffer, we see, oh, the back triangle is behind the front triangle, so we just ignore.
Yep. The depth buffer doesn't care whether it's transparent or not. Okay? Now, we could try modifying our shader to make sure that doesn't happen in various ways. But that only works, you can only do that at all if you have a 0, 1 alpha. And in general, we have varying alphas. And we have varying levels of opacity. And because I have varying levels of opacity around the boundaries to anti-alias the original image, it doesn't know which pixel to pick. So it just says the front one comes. Part of the reason why transparency is hard when you're dealing with all these sorts of things. There are other ways you could set up. You could set up, for example, if you had one object that was partially transparent and a bunch of other objects that weren't, you have the one object that's transparent get drawn at the end and not have it write to the depth buffer, just read it. There are various ways you can set up OpenGL to get around this, but this is the basic problem, and I realized I ran that too long and filled up my rendering pipeline. All right. I don't have to do this just like this, though. Okay. I can put that in directly, but I can also save this as its own type of thing. Okay. So I could say, I want to make a vec for color that is the texture color, and then I can also modify a combination of this color and the varying color in various kinds of ways. So one way I could do that, let's make an RGB color here, okay? How do I know what the red, green, blue color should be? Well, that will be my the red, green, blue of my texture coordinate, okay, times how opaque that is. Plus the red, green, blue of the varying thing times how not opaque it was. Question?
Do you need to make that vcolor.rgb?
Yes, thank you. I do, because that's a 4-color, not a 3-color. Okay? And then because my frag color is a 4-color, I could then name a frag color is a vec 4 of the RGB and 1. And now instead of having the transparent way stay transparent, I am using that transparency to essentially put the image on top of the per pixel color I had before. And something crashed. Let's go see if there's anything in my console. Oh look, there is. I did something horribly wrong. Let's see if we can figure out why. So, you should learn how to get access to your console. It's often F12. There's also other ways to get at it. But there's lots of different tabs here. One of them is the console. This is where error messages get put. And here we have, it shows me the whole text of one of my shaders. And it says an error. We have minus, an operand type. No minus exists that takes a left-hand operator of type const int and a right-hand operator of type medium float p. That is the problem. Okay? Could it have figured that out? Maybe, but it doesn't. So I need to figure it out for it. So I need to come in here and say, all right, that is 1.0. Okay? Why would it do that? Well, if you have a 32-bit integer and a 16-bit float, there are both numbers that the int can't store, but the float can, anything with a fraction, and numbers the float can store and the int can't, anything really big. And so WebGL is paranoid. Okay? It won't do it if it can't do it perfectly. So let me go back here and get rid of that. And let's try reloading this page. Ah. Isn't that so beautiful? Aren't you glad we spent an hour figuring out how to build this? All right. So, before I ask for questions about this, I have a higher level question, which is about homework 4. Let's go and look at, last year, or 2 years ago when we last taught this. The website, I've learned a lot in these times. Not all of it is useful. All right. So what did we ask you to do last time? We said you write some WebGL. You make something like we had, but that uses two different programs to draw something with and something without textures. You use some data. We give you the monkey face and a few other objects to do some lighting. You had to do both of those, and you had to pick at least one of using the object as its own texture, using a fisheye projection, doing something psychedelic, or having something bounce around, or do something else we thought was cool. Okay? This doesn't fit in the usual model. This is not... There's some required, there's some optional credits. We went through various versions and I didn't come up with one that worked. And it also requires you all to write the same language. And anyway, this can work. I'm happy to do this again, but I want your feedback. Do you want to do something like this? We'd spend the first few weeks of our TBA talking about some new topic and then have an assignment on it.
But instead of WebGL?
Mm-hmm. Any strong feelings?
How does this affect the optional credit?
So this was just its own bucket. Homework 4 was just by itself. No. Yes?
Can we do like a small exercise on this and a small exercise on another topic for the combined total of the same as this large one?
Yeah, so have like a homework 4A and 4B kind of thing? Okay. I'm seeing a few nodding heads. I think GL is cool enough. I want to do it. I want somebody to force me to do it. No, I assume that we'll, luck of the draw, the first thing we will do will be more interesting. This is the lesser of two evils. Nobody wants to do homework. Right. Okay, no strong feelings. All right, I will take that under advisement and we will move forward. Any questions about any of the things we've been doing? We just have a minute left. Yes?
I know in like regular OpenGL, you have separate index buffers for like, say for example, your texture coordinates and then your regular.
And you can in WebGL too, but not in Twiggle.
Oh, okay.
So you're always welcome to go and learn the 20 lines to do the one line of Twiggle. Part of removing 20 lines is you remove 20 options. And so it just takes the most common across the board. Anything else? Yeah?
I know you have like but is this like actual code on?
Yes, so the starting code was already posted. I will post the finishing code after class. All right, I will see you all on Tuesday.